Holly refused unless he could play too. He looked at me with those bloodshot, darting eyes and refused. He was pale and shaking and hurt, but still he wouldn't.
You're going to have some support fire, Jack. You haven't got a chance without it.
Damn it, Holly, I haven't a chance anyway. Stay out of it. Just show me how to blow what's left of the outer room and... I got a bad thought. What about after that? Will I be able to get the door open once I've blown the bastards in front of it? He smiled weakly.
The door will spring, he assured me. I'll do it for you.
I stared at him. No need, just tell me how.
No.
Damn. So cute. It took a lot more painters to get him going again, that and stimules. On second thought, I took a bunch myself. Why hold back now? I loaded up on other things, too, on blaze pistols clipped on everywhere, and a rifle with extra charges and a row or two of concussion grenades. Not enough to get me across the river to the coyote. There weren't enough in the universe to do that alone. But maybe enough for my little plan. Maybe enough to get to one of the commandos wearing that open-air armor. Anybody could wear open-air. It wasn't like Felix's specially built black suit. And once I had that on, and with perhaps a break or two... And then we were at the door, me loaded down with goodies and Holly equally burdened with two blaze rifles and the metagrips piled around his legs and other places, making him walk bow-legged behind. I didn't want to waste any time on the off chance that Borglund would tell them I was coming out. I didn't think he would think of it, but still, I knew the people outside would never expect it. I stood crouched before the door and nodded to Holly by the panel. He keyed the blast. It shook the floor and the door. It blew, according to Holly, the outer room, floors and ceiling, and gash, and commandos down the hill toward or in the river. It was very loud. Now spring the door, I urged him. I didn't want to wait an instant for them to recover. Holly nodded. He keyed the switch for open. That's all it took. I snarled at him as I raced forward. He laughed and stumbled along behind. The plan was for me to rush out ahead to find cover. Then I would support Holly's exit against any resistance that might be left from the first blast. Holly could thereafter support my charge down the hill over the ridge. We never had a prayer. The blast had done its job well enough. There was no sign of the front chamber except for the huge chunks of masonry scattered about. As I leaped forward to the first boulder-sized one, however, I knew it was over. They were waiting at the ridge, safe and secure and already firing, already filling the air with the arcing grenades. I spun around to yell at Holly to stop. Stay where you are, Holly. I'm coming back in. But then it was too late. The first blast hit, and we both went down. I saw him slammed against a jagged cornice and lay stunned. I tried crawling toward him, but then the air was full of blue beams and dust from the blasts. I felt a surge of heat along my thigh and jerked it out of the open. I couldn't get across the open space to him. I was cut off. But he was exposed. He was open to their fire and the blasts, without any protection at all, but a difficult angle up from the ridge. The ridges, the other side opened up about then, and then from two sides the air was filled with beams and grenades and dust and slamming, rocking noise. I tried crawling back to him, curled up around myself to ward off the dust and rock that rattled against the surrounding rubble. But it was no good. No way to get back without being struck by the flying shards. No way to stay. No way to do anything. So I crawled and stumbled forward, and things crashed into me, cutting and tearing and crushing, and I yelled to Holly that I was sorry, sorry, so sorry that I wasn't going to make it to help him. I was dying, and sorry. And Holly, can you hear me?